You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Britt Salveson. I'm talking to her from L.A. Britt, thanks so much for talking with me today.
My pleasure. Looking forward to it.
Britt, let's talk a little bit about LACMA. Exactly what is your position there at LACMA? I mean, your responsibilities as department head and curator. What is it that you oversee or do at LACMA?
Yes, I joined LACMA in 2009, and I actually oversee two departments, the photography department and the prints and drawings department, which have historically been separate areas at LACMA and still are to a great extent, although where it makes sense to have one department head is really in regard to anticipating some storage and conservation needs moving forward, since as works on paper have similar requirements.
Right. And so what are your responsibilities? Is to overlook both departments, and in that role, what is it that you're actively working on or involved with at the moment?
With colleagues in both areas, we work on acquisitions and collection building, exhibition planning, and programs relating to those areas. And we also work with patron groups who support both areas. Tends to be really separate patron groups, actually. There's not a lot of overlap.
That's interesting. I mean, and we're talking about the area of development, right?
Yes, I do find it really interesting that let's think of it from the young artist perspective. They aren't thinking about departments and boundaries and, you know, drawing lines between different media necessarily. They will work with whatever materials and tools make sense to them for their ideas. So you have so much permeability between artists using photography, film, drawing, painting, installation, what have you. It all comes together. Museums are set up on an older kind of 19th century model that distinguishes these areas. And with collectors, I guess they fall somewhat in between those two precedents. Certainly there are contemporary art collectors who range across different media, but there are also collectors who really go deep in one area, photography or drawing. Works on paper are a great entry level for collectors just starting out, and LA happens to be a great place for print workshops. So we try to bring in young collectors or people who are just starting to think about collecting, as well as those more seasoned collectors who have been at it for a long time.
And you just said LA is a great place for print workshops. And do you mean mm-hmm. print workshops like ateliers for artists using, you know, all different kinds of printmaking processes, from like lithograph to, you know, intaglio and
exactly.
monoprint?
Exactly, publishers and facilities that have the equipment and the master printers to help artists realize editions that can then be sold. And some of those artists, like Ed Ruscha, for example, is a very experienced printmaker over many years, and he has worked with really several different workshops here in LA, and is a co-founder of one of them, Hamilton Press. And the workshops tend also to be active in recruiting younger artists to give it a go for the first time with printmaking. And so we see quite a great range here of experienced printmakers like Ruscha or John Baldessari, and younger artists like Jonas Wood, who has gotten kind of hooked on printmaking, be it whether silkscreen or lithography, and is really augmenting his body of work through that means.
Let's talk a little bit about maybe printmakers and printmaking and patrons and collectors, because it seems to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that printmaking, which I've done a good amount of myself, is something of a misunderstood form. You know, what is it? What is a print? You know, as artists and many other curators that are listening to this, We understand what a print is. But it's always seemed to me that, prints have this stigma from those who don't really understand them as being something less than an original, which, of course, we know it isn't. But do you find that's part of what collectors or new collectors are also grappling with understanding, or am I overstating the kind of struggle that printmaking has?
No, you state it perfectly, and it the challenge is then educating publics on the kind of material nature of printmaking and also its vocabulary, because, you know, we can conflate a print with a photomechanical reproduction or poster or a digital print that might be a reproduction of another kind. And all those create confusion around the edition, the original edition print that an artist might do hands-on at a workshop. And I think it's, I mean, where, of course, when one has the luxury, the best way to cut through all of this confusion is to invite people to visit a workshop and see the presses and smell the ink and understand the craftsmanship that goes into producing an edition and that collaboration that an artist does with a master printer and the trial and error that happens to arrive at that final approved version. It's such a kind of the forms of printmaking have such an amazing history, and yet when we get accustomed to thinking of art as an image instead of an object, we do it does become a challenge to go back to that material reality, which is really what's so captivating.
Yeah, well, it's the material reality that I always found printmaking captivating, because there's also, I think, for the artist, a little bit of mystery, unlike drawing, and not mystery, but a little bit of surprise, unlike, you know, drawing and other mediums where, you know, what you do is what you get. Printmaking, it's reversed in the end, and in many mm-hmm. cases, and that's,
there's a kind of an alchemy to the process, whether you're using acids and etching, for example, or that reversal like you're talking about, or registering different layers of color. There are it's as though you're always learning, right, from the medium as you're engaged with it.
Right. And so when you talk about patrons and collectors, is this part of your responsibility is to educate them to these fields and groups of work?
Yes, definitely. And we do that through a lot of events in artist studios, or have artists come to the museum and speak. Often we have contemporary artists who are active in the area come and comment on historic materials. For example, we have a master printer of etchings in Santa Monica named Jacob Samuel, and he has conducted public talks about the prints of Picasso and Whistler and Rembrandt. So it's really great. I mean, even as an art historian rather than an artist, I can read historic accounts of the processes, but hearing about it from someone who actually does it day in and day out, I always learn something new.
And so I'd like to talk about photography too, but before we go there, to talk about prints and photography, how does LACMA acquire? Because I know you're also overseeing that. Is there a certain range? Are you acquiring as much from contemporary living as well as artists who are not living? I'm just kind of wondering what the scope
is. Both collections do span a broad scope in prints and drawings. Obviously, it's longer than photography, but starts with old masters and goes up to contemporary. And we We make acquisitions through a few different pathways, outright donation, and Bequest is certainly one of them, and we have really generous collectors and donors. We also, and when I say we, myself and my fellow curators in both areas, we're conducting studio visits on our own or together with artists constantly. So we get to know younger artists, and maybe through those visits can continue to acquire emerging art and the art of our Southern California region, which is one of our areas of emphasis in our programming. In photography, we have a support group whose sole activity is visiting studios. So we visit 5 or 6 studios a year, and their membership contributions go towards acquiring work from those artists. So it's a really great way to just see what's happening year by year in different neighborhoods of LA, and to support the young artists working here.
That's so interesting, and it's just an exciting way to you're saying the membership fees of people who I imagine are at a higher membership level, you're saying those membership levels to LACMA go directly towards acquiring new photographic works?
Yes, and then every year we have a party to celebrate it with all the artists, and we're now we're just completing our 4th year, so we've got quite a number of works to show for that.
And these works that you're showing and acquiring now, they're all, because I want to kind of talk about what's in the collection, because I imagine there's silver prints and some from, you know, the history of photography, vintage prints, you know, prints
yep.
before the advent of digital printing, right? So is what you're acquiring now all digital and none of it is I don't know how to put it, but darkroom based?
We still do acquire from currently working artists. Some of them are still working in analog in the chemical darkroom. The majority, I'd say, is now digital, but that's not exclusive. And there are even, you know, a few out there who are working in the antiquarian processes, such as ambrotype and tintype and so on. So there are a few things like that. We have also been acquiring, not just in my areas, but in other curatorial areas as well, more and more time-based media, moving image-based, and that brings with it the additional considerations of data management and equipment, and reaching a really careful understanding with the artist about how we're going to handle the inevitable evolution of hardware and software, so that we can.
So give me an example of that time base, because
yeah.
we're talking still about photography here, but you're
mm-hmm.
talking about. It sounds like it linked to a technology like browsers or something like that. Well, what do you mean by time based new media work? Because this is still falling under the category of photography. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, if you think of it as a lens based or camera based medium, that does incorporate video. The Contemporary Art Department also collects works made in video also. But if it's comparatively easy to store a Rembrandt print or an Edward Weston photograph. But when you're thinking about a work that is a digital file that's intended to be, let's say, projected on a wall of a certain size, that's a bit of a different consideration, and we have to really work closely with the artist at the point of acquisition to understand, come to a mutual understanding of the modifications that really are inevitably going to occur, because, you know, we can't open up those old floppy disks that we once had, you know, when we're making an acquisition for the medium, for the museum, I'm sorry, we want to ensure that that artwork's going to be accessible generations in the future.
It always seems to be so complex. Like how, you know, when I think, especially of museums, you know, in the past acquiring, you know, internet-based works, but even as you're saying, how how can you know that you'll always have it? Because in many cases you literally may not be able to, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know exactly how it would work with what you're saying, but it's possible that digital file can't be seen as it originally was. So that seems to be such a tricky kind of
it really is,
area
and
to
I
navigate.
Think I think this is for young people who might be listening. This is an area in the art world that is potentially a great career choice because people of my generation, we're learning as we go. I think museums are going to need digital expertise, digital archiving, and artists will also need that kind of assistance in storing and archiving their own work. How you display it, I mean, I think it's an area of art conservation that it's just getting started, but it's going to become really essential.
And so by that being, a kind of growing vocation or career, do you mean the idea of being a digital archivist or of artists coming up with ways or considering how things will be archived when they make them or both?
Well, both, although those are different considerations. I think artists their primary duty should be to make the work. I don't want to assign kind of computer science expertise to them, but I'm hoping that more preservation programs will start to include the digital realm. There's also, I think, quite a bit more of that already going on in library sciences and so on, and maybe there'll be some crossover.
Fascinating. And so in the time that you've been head of these departments, in the last several years, have you seen a change that's identifiable in how artists are using, let's say, photography? I mean, I suppose there's less and less analog all the time, but mm-hmm. or maybe not. Maybe there's a resurgence of it, like vinyl. But have you seen any trends or movements over the last several years in terms of all these studio visits you're doing and how artists are using photography and digital media?
I do think that artists who maybe started out working with still imagery exclusively are much more inclined to make that transition to moving image work, film and video, because the equipment is that much more accessible to them. So they can do more ambitious, basically feature-length films that would once have required just, very expensive equipment to rent and equipment they might not have been able to handle themselves. Now they can. One example, an artist who I got to know her work as a photographer, Katie Grannon, an analog photographer, in fact, who did a number of publications, exhibitions, bodies of work, and has recently shifted into filmmaking and has produced her first feature. So it's been interesting to see that, and I think with the accessibility of the tools being what it is, That's a direction that's here to stay.
Huh. That's so interesting. And to step back a little bit and look at both of these departments, is there something on display or shows that are coming up that people should watch for in either of those departments? I mean, there's all of LACMA, of course, but in terms of what you're overseeing, is there printmaking or photography shows that are upcoming or current?
Well, one show I'd like to draw attention to that's only got a couple of weeks left to run is a retrospective of Maholi Naj, which was curated by my colleague Carol Eliel in the Modern Art Department in conjunction with the Art Institute of Chicago and the Guggenheim Museum in New York. And Maholi Naj is such a great figure to look at because he's this modernist from earlier in the century who was a real pioneer in just breaking down or ignoring those boundaries among media. So he was active as a painter, as a filmmaker, as a graphic designer. He made prints. He used new materials at the time, new kinds of plastics and plexiglass and what have you. So he is kind of the prototype of this cross-media artist who is more the norm today. So it's a show that, you know, has a historic valence to it. Certainly, he died in 1946, but it still feels really contemporary.
And it's fascinating that the plastics and that your plexiglass, I'm talking about that you're using, you're talking about him using, is that for kind of photogram processes, or how did he use those materials?
There were some that he used as a kind of a surface, so incising in or painting on, but the plexi he used, fascinatingly, it's kind of like a shrinky dink, if you remember those. And in fact, he was manipulating these in his stove at home, so it might have been a little toxic. But he was kind of softening it and then shaping it into what he called light modulators. Sometimes then he would aim different kinds of lights through these bent and warped plastics and take photographs of the pattern that was generated. So it was really kind of one thing leading to another in this fascinating way.
Huh, that is fascinating. So I'm glad we talked about that show. Many people that listen to the interview will be able to go see that show in time.
And is there any other catalog show as well? So there's that reference for people who are not in the immediate area.
Very good. I'll put a link to that as well. And is there any other show that's coming up or that we should mention before we go?
Well, we also have a show on Vue that's about an influential art dealer, Virginia Dwan. And her name might not be that familiar to people, but she had a gallery here in Los Angeles and then also in New York. And it's almost like a textbook on the art movements of the 60s and 70s. She was involved with artists of the land art movement and supported really important projects by those artists. She was also involved with artists who worked with conceptual artists who worked with language. She worked with and supported Eve Klein. So it's almost a real kind of greatest hits of the contemporary art of that era. And it's great to see that this kind of very creative and prescient woman is the connecting point among them all.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Well, I hope people get to see that show as well. Before we go, I want to ask you the last question, which is to ask what you're personally reading at the moment. It could be off topic or not.
Yes, well, I'm juggling a couple different things right now. In my, so to speak, work reading, I'm in connection with a project I'm working on for next year. I'm rereading Oliver Sacks, The Mind's Eye, and a book by film historians André Gaudreau and Philippe Marion on The End of Cinema, A Medium in Crisis in the Digital Age. So even in that medium, there are definitely arguments about the digital and the nature of the medium. And in my kind of personal fiction reading, I'm reading Lush Life by Richard Price.
So that's a nice selection.
Yeah,
I like that selection. There was one question that I also wanted to ask in terms of photography and printmaking. It's always struck me, and I may be wrong because I'm not an avid collector, but that photography still as a medium is underpriced and as a collector sort of a bargain. Do you think that's true, or is that just my romantic idea of what it means to collect photography? And I'm talking vintage as well as contemporary work as opposed to paintings.
There's certainly a high end in the contemporary art market of artists using photography that has gone into a a blue chip level, but at the same time, there's quite a range, and there are definitely entry level and accessible price points for photography, both contemporary and vintage. It's a field where new discoveries are constantly being made, so it's interesting to note how photographs that were maybe originally made for commercial purposes, advertising, fashion, commission, documentation, might enter the art world, and people, if you're watching, you can find those new entries into the history and snap them up while they're still affordable.
Thank you, Britt, for talking to me today. It's really been a pleasure hearing about your work and the exhibitions at LACMA as well.
You're welcome.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.